Miss Melissa, great job on the piano. We're going to let our kids slip out to their children's worship service. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we'll be looking at this morning, our text, Hebrews chapter 11. And invite you to look with me a few familiar passages. How many were here last night and you were one of the ones who were able to get the door prize for the Cracker Barrel? Anybody? All right. I tell you, there's a whole group of them, and I told them they're just going to have a Cracker Barrel party, I guess. And do what now? Chicken. Oh, and Miss Sarah works there, so ask for Miss Sarah, all right? And so anyway, it was a great time of fellowship last night, and appreciate those that were able to come out. Hebrews chapter 11, would you stand if you're able to stand with me in the reading of God's Word? Hebrews chapter 11, we just finished up, if you were here with us, a series of messages out of the book of Jonah. And again, I encourage you, if you want to go back and listen to those, you can do so on our website. Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, just simply when he's got old, right? Grown up, getting old, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, that is Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The word him, now I wrote in my Bible, I capitalized that because that's speaking of God himself. Moses didn't look toward Pharaoh, the king. Moses looked toward God. What motivated Moses in his Christian walk was not King Pharaoh, but it was God. I want to bring to you a message today that we would entitle Our World View. Our World View. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning, the privilege to preach. Lord, thank you for those that are here. Help us, Lord, this morning to listen intently. Lord, I know there are so many sick that would love to be here today, and our hearts and prayers are out to those who are sick and shut in, and pray for quick healing upon them. We do pray, God, that you would speak to hearts. If there's an unsaved one in our midst today, that they would realize their need of Jesus. Lord, invite you in their life to be the Savior. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us and giving us a good service already. Pray now you'll bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our text verse would be verse 27. It says, by faith, he, speaking of Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, speaking of God, who is invisible, or who is one that's unseen. You see, in the midst of every election, and we're not in an election period of time, but it's quite often the case that whenever you hear people that's running for an elected office, such as president or Congress or Senate, I'm amazed of how all of a sudden they become morally correct. They become really value-oriented. I mean, they have the highest of integrity. I mean, you hear that in all the advertisements, right? I mean, certain words are used over and over. You'll hear the word values. You'll hear the word morality. You'll hear the word integrity. These are some words that are often thrown out there, obviously, to get our attention that these are some good guys. And that's not to say that some of them are not. But yet, you know, I want you to consider some definitions with me at the outset of this message, because it is necessary that we understand what we're talking about. For instance, the word values or value. You see, the definition of the word value, as I'm sure you may know, just simply means the worth or importance of something. Value, the worth or importance of something. And then you'll hear the word morals are moral, which simply means it's principles of right and wrong behavior. And then there's the word integrity that sometimes we hear, and that is the adherence to a code of moral values, completeness, or honesty. All of these words, and sometimes you don't hear the definitions of them, but most of us know kind of what they mean, obviously. Now, all of these are terms that can be applied differently, right, depending on upon what we use as a standard, and that's the key. You see, the standard determines the values. The standard determines the morals. The standard determines really the person's integrity when we think of it along those lines. You see, the standard by which we must define and apply these terms that I've just thrown out at you must be the Word of God. The Word of God. And you see, it cannot be society, because you see, if it's the society that we listen to for the standards here, then that wouldn't be very good, because we know that society changes, doesn't it? I mean, we just never know how the wind's going to blow in Washington, D.C., and how they're going to change their mind on things, because society changes. And by the way, it cannot be knowledge, because that too changes. But it must be, and this is where I think our forefathers had it right, and when they established this great country called America, that they understood that our standards must be based upon the unchanging Word of God. You see, it must be the only thing that doesn't change. And you see, that's why we have been able to function as well as we have over the years in this country, because we have built our standards, our values, our morals, our integrity based on the unchanging Word of God. But for some reason, in the last several years, man has come along and says, hey, let me give you my knowledge. Let me give you my standards, and let's just do it this way. And then setting God's Word aside. And see, we find that really what I want to focus on in the outset of this message this morning, there are two worlds that we live in. The Bible describes these two worlds very clearly. There are two worlds that we live in. Every person on the earth is a citizen of one or two different worlds. You see, if you're an unbeliever, then you belong to the world of darkness. I didn't say that, but the Bible says that. That if you're an unbeliever, which we all were at one time in our life, in other words, we were all at one time maybe unsaved without Christ, we were living in the world of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that is really the authority of Satan, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Then if you're a Christian this morning, then you're a member of the world of light, which that's where I hope you are this morning. That you're no longer in the world of darkness, but now you're in the world of light. Colossians, again, chapter 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers. That is, the word meet there in that verse, made us meet, it just simply, God has made us qualified. We didn't make ourselves qualified, but God made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. That's what that verse is saying. So hopefully this morning you're no longer in that world of darkness, which means you would be unsaved, but you're now in the world of light because you've invited Jesus Christ in your heart to be your Savior. And you know, each world has its own system, right, of truth and values. If you'll reflect back, and we don't want to do this too often, but you can recall maybe when you were lost without Christ, you probably had a different value system. In other words, you looked at things differently. You looked at it from the world's perspective, in the manner of darkness, and because we're not the children of light. But once we get saved, our values begin to change. We look at things a little differently. And so each world has its own system of truth and values. Therefore, the child of God and the unbeliever have radically different identities and worldviews. That's why sometimes we don't understand why do people make decisions? Why is our world going in the direction it's going in? Why is America going in the direction it's going in? because there's a lot that are in charge of this country that are living in darkness. And they're making decisions based on their lifestyle of darkness. And we are looking at it from the perspective of living in the light. That's not to say that we're better than anybody. It just simply means that our value system is different, that our integrity and our morals are different, because our standards are based on the truths of God's Word, which never changes. Two worlds. That's the world of darkness, world of light. Now, the world of darkness, again, the Bible uses the word darkness to describe the world of sin. If you go in it and you study this world of darkness, you'll see that it is. Quite often, there's several scriptures that talks about darkness, and it's describing it as being in the world of sin. You see, this darkness which entered into the world, it came about in the beginning in Genesis, in the fall, and it is the dominion of Satan, and Satan, by the way, has his helpers. We don't see Satan's helpers. And by the way, the devil cannot be at the same place at the same time like God can. But Satan has his helpers, or his realm of those who want to bring our world down, bring the church down. And so we find that we're living in that, and we battle against sin daily because we're in the world. Satan also has this, has set the secular, material, and centered and folks' eyes on those things, and the philosophy that we see around us, that it's the prevalent that we're in, not the world, thank God, that we're going to be in for eternity. But yet, we know that Satan is running rampant today because we see, again, his handiwork among us everywhere. You know, like physical darkness, this spiritual darkness blinds. You know, it prevents people from seeing the truth, this darkness. We find that it blinds their eyes so they don't know where they are going. We live in a world of sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." You see, darkness clouds their thinking. The lost persons, the dark world, the sin nature clouds our thinking when we are not in the light. The darkness clouds the meaning of life. It clouds the right way to live, and we're our priorities. And we wonder sometimes, why are people reacting and doing the things that we wouldn't think are natural or whatever, because they're in a world of darkness. Satan has blinded the unsaved to the truth. And by the way, since people are living in darkness, they don't understand what life is all about. They don't understand how God intended life to be. And their actions often reflect that. You take, for instance, someone who you wonder, how can somebody get caught up into drugs? How can somebody get caught up into alcohol or immorality? Well, if you find yourself dabbling with those, and young people, listen to me, don't dabble with sin. You know... drugs or alcohol, immorality, you think, well, I can handle it. Now, I don't say this just to kids. This is adults as well. Be careful of what you find on social media. Be careful what you find on the internet. You know, all these places. Sometimes we get out there and we dabble with things thinking it can't hurt us. So many have ruined their lives over pornography. I mean, good people. Every day you read in the paper or in the news of some adult that has messed up immorally. And a lot of it is just because they dabble and get started. One sin, listen, you open the door of opportunity for the devil, he's going to throw other opportunities at you that you can go with. Darkness. Many of us know what that's like, because that's what God saved us from. But as a believer, we've not yet been fully delivered from the environment of the evil value systems. That's why we look toward heaven one day. That's why I'm looking forward to a perfect place one day where there'll be no more sin. There'll be no darkness. But you see, because we are in the world, we're in the environment of this darkness that we see around us. You know, we would have to leave the world to be completely free of the contact of evil, in which one day God's going to call us out of here through the sounding of the trumpet, and we'll know what that's like. But yet, until then, we're in the environment of that darkness. Even though we can't escape the world, we're not to take part in the thinking and the behavior that it produces. Why? Because God has delivered us. Listen, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. God has. And He's given us the ability to choose to obey Him and to live in the light of the darkness. When you got saved, God says, okay, now I've saved you out of that darkness, although you're still in the environment of it. But that doesn't mean that just because you're around it that I have to give in. Preacher, you just don't know. You know, the devil made me do it. No, the devil don't make us do anything. You know, devil's going to tempt us, and devil's going to come at us with things. But as a child of God, God allows us to say no to sin. And we're without excuse. Why? Because God has delivered us from the power of the darkness. Now, before I was saved, before you were saved, you were completely under the control of Satan, who had the power to pretty much get you to do what he wanted you to do. But thank God, He came along. Maybe somewhere along the way in your life, someone showed you Jesus, how you could invite Christ in your life to be your Savior. And boy, it just changed your life, didn't it? I hope it did. Thank God He saved you from the power of the darkness. He delivered you from that. You know, the key is learning, though, to distinguish between the two world systems. And that's the difficulty for some Christians. Sometimes we don't mature in our walk with God to the point to where it's hard for us to distinguish between that which is dark and that which is light. And thereby we have a tendency, if not careful, to develop that. Why do you think we live in a confused world today when it comes to even some Christians? You know, believe it or not, you have some who stand up and say, hey, I believe the Bible, it's God's Word, but you know why? There's parts of it I don't believe. You know what? I can't relate to that. You either believe it all or you don't. It's either all God's Word or it's not God's Word. And then as far as our moral system, you know, we're now in Alabama. You know what's been in the headlines in Alabama here recently. It's not hard to figure out what God thinks about marriage and how God's designed the home. And you know, it's not Adam and Steve, by the way. It's Adam and Eve. And that's the way God designed it. Listen, I didn't do it, but that's the way God did it. And some will interpret that, well, that's not a loving way to preach. Well, you know what? God laid it out there. And when it comes down to it, it's not our value system. It's not our morals. It's what God has laid out. Because God never changes. All of a sudden, we've decided, hey, let's just change this book. Well, man can change it, but that doesn't mean it's changed. Because God doesn't change. You see, the key is learning to distinguish between two systems and thereby develop a worldview with biblical values and goals in mind. Now, that was our introduction, real quickly. My wife says, hey, by the way, I enjoyed that Jonas series. You sure got us out of here quick. You know, isn't that a spiritual way to look at things? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you from a preacher's perspective. Most preachers, if they're preaching, they're not really worried about the clock. They're just going to preach what God's laid on their heart. Okay? And I really didn't with that Jonah message series. I just preached. When I was finished, I was finished. It'll be the same way today. Two worlds. There's the world of darkness. How many of you can say this morning, preacher, I'm glad I'm no longer in the world of darkness. I'm glad I'm no longer there because I've seen the light. The light is the second world, The word of light, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." That God is light. You see, the light that when I got saved at 11 years old, I didn't know much about darkness. I didn't know much about sin. All I knew that I was a sinner. And I'm glad that God saved me at a young age, because I haven't had the opportunity to experience, or did not experience, a lot of things that maybe I could have. But God saved me. And I recall at that moment of salvation, I recall this without a doubt. But you know, I'm supposed to be different now. I don't know how I'm supposed to be different, but I'm supposed to be different. And as I began to grow in the Lord, as God began to be that light that reflected in my life, God is the one who showed me how to be different. It wasn't to say I was no longer a sinner, because I was. You were a sinner. We're still sinners. We're just saved sinners by grace, right? But 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is the light and in him is no darkness at all." Thank God there's no darkness when we look to God. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9 that he sent his son, the light of the world, to deliver us from all the darkness into the marvelous light. We find in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, the Bible says he makes us children of light and the children of the day. Flip over with me to Romans chapter number 12 real quickly, if you'll look there. Romans chapter 12. And by the way, since we as believers, many in this room I'm sure have accepted Christ as Savior. And if you're a believer, since you are a believer and you have been delivered, you said, "Preacher, I've been delivered from the darkness that you're speaking of." And you know, what does that mean about our worldview? Does that mean that I still should be looking through the eyes of a dark world? No. God has given us a new way to look at the world, to see things differently. And by the way, that's why sometimes people Christians are often criticized, and I'm talking about genuine Christians are often criticized for their stand, their position on things, because we're not looking at it from a dark side. We're looking at it from God's side. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and this is why we look at things the way we do. The verses 1 and 2 in Romans 12 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," that's speaking to believers, not an unsaved person, that's believers, "brethren, that ye, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable," that is your spiritual service, "and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We've been transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. Who did that? God did that when he saved us. And since we as believers have been delivered from darkness, our worldview is transformed. That's why my morals are different today than it was maybe when I was lost. That's why I hope you could say about yourself and myself that my way of integrity is different. My value system is different. And, you know, the things that I may would have done as a lost person, I wouldn't do today. I choose not to do it because I'm in the world of light. Who changed me? God changed me. So we're to understand spiritual values, and you know, we're to adopt them as the guidelines for our lives. Spiritual values. What are right values, preacher? Go back to our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. You see, God provides in his word all that we need to know to make right choices. Al Mohler, he's a president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I read on a tweet, I believe he's still the president, but I read on a tweet that he had sent out this morning. I should try to pull it up, but I may mess it up. But he made the statement, and I'm paraphrasing, and I've said this here recently, that God's going to reveal who is really standing for the truth. What does he mean by that? We're living a day and time where God, and I honestly believe this, The true Christian, the true church is going to be revealed here soon. In other words, there's no straddling the fence anymore. You know, sadly, we have in our churches some folks who want to have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Well, God is ending all that. Now, there still may be some of that, but the true church, God is revealing. What do you mean, preacher, by where we stand on our morals, our integrity, our values? In other words, when it comes down to it, how do we stand on the Word of God? You know, we're going to find out who the true preachers are today, who the true missionaries are, because there's so much false teaching, preaching that's going on outside these doors in this world today, and it won't be long. God's going to reveal the true church and true Christians and true preachers and whatever, so that we can know as we get closer, I believe, to the end times, so we'll know truly where we stand. And are we living in the ways of darkness or the way of light? God is providing His Word all that we need to know to make the right choices. He's provided role models. I like the fact that God in His Word, He provides role models both positive and negative. You know, Moses, we'll see here in a moment, but you take, for instance, David. David, a man after God's own heart. You know, what God showed us about David's life, God showed us the fact that, you know, there are times as a Christian you can still live in darkness. There's times you can be saved and have the light, but yet you can live in darkness, meaning you don't lose your salvation. I'm not referring to that. But David, if you know, he sinned, and he got out of God's will. And thank God he found his way back and repented and came back to God. But, so we see the positive and negatives that we can learn from. But here in the life of Moses, God gives us a worthy model to follow as we learn to develop a godly value system. What are the right values, preacher? It's something that we're not teaching our kids, that we need to teach them in this day and time. What are the right kind of values to have? We need to see the principles that lead to this commitment. And we're going to share with you just a few principles along with that. But these principles are stated in reverse order. Go back with me in Hebrews chapter 11 in our text. And we're going to go in reverse order as we read this morning, beginning actually in verse 27. First of all, we start with a foundation of faith. That's the first thing. If you're taking notes, start with the right values, having the right foundation of faith. Look what Hebrews 11:27 says. By faith he, Moses, left or forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, that is Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, Moses had a foundation of faith in God. Would you agree with that? If you study the life of Moses, he had a foundation of faith in God, and not only in God, but in God's revealed word. Moses had the privilege of being the one to receive the Ten Commandments. God trusted him with that. Moses had that foundation of faith in God and God's revealed word. God came to him on the mountain there of Mount Moriah, and God, or Mount Sinai there, and revealed to him his written word. He understood that God, though invisible, was at work in his life and in this world. You see, the foundation for Moses' life was outside of himself, but it was in the true truth of the true God. And so the principle that we learn here is our view of life must rest on the foundation of faith in God and in God's truth. If we're going to build the foundation of our life, it needs to build on the faith of God and the truth of the Word of God. That's the right values. Our view of life must rest on the foundation of faith in God and His truth. I know that's a lot to write down, but that's important. That's important to teach our kids. What are right values? These are things that's not being taught in our homes today. These are things that our kids are not hearing today. I definitely, you know, some of these things you may have heard in your school, you know, growing up, having the right values based on the Word of God, but building it like Moses taught us here in this passage on the right foundation. And then the second thing, our values need to be based on our faith as well. Not only on the foundation of faith, but our values are based on our faith. Our values are. What do we say that values are? Values are the worth or importance of something. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, look there. It says, esteeming. The word esteeming there means considering. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know what Moses was looking for? Moses was looking more out into the future. He wasn't looking for the blessings of King Pharaoh here and now, but he was more looking, and that's what he's saying in that verse in verse 26. He's looking more at the reward that's coming later. You know what? Sometimes we're so focused on what we're going to get now that we're not focused on working for the reward that's going to come later. You know, there's a lot that, you know, we're going to get in heaven, Lord willing, if we're found faithful. If you want your pat on the back right now and you want your reward now, you can get it. That's going to burn up one day. But what we do for God ought to be what we, like Moses here, that we're looking for that reward that's going to come later. You see, values need to be based on our faith. Moses valued the things of God more than the treasures of Egypt. Sometimes we're so quick to want to, we want to get our praise now. We want to get our pat on the back now. We want to get our reward now. Moses says, listen, that's why he separated himself from Egypt. That's why he separated himself from King. Now, you got to understand, Moses could have had the best of the world. I mean, he was part of the king's family there, Pharaoh. And he could have had whatever he wanted, but yet he chose to leave that lifestyle, which was darkness, and to go into the lifestyle of light, which is God, and knowing that he's working more toward the future. You see, he based his values on his foundation of his faith in God. No doubt, his believing parents taught him God's truth, which caused him to value eternal things. And parents, that alone should be an example to all of us as parents and grandparents, that it's important that we teach our children, our grandchildren, the right values, because they're not being taught that today, right? Oh, listen, so the principle that we learn here under this particular point is values are shaped by our system of truth. Values are shaped by our system of truth. And what is it? Based on the Word of God. Then a third thing this morning. If we're going to have the right values, then our choices that we make should be based on our values. Our choices, that are they based on the right values? If not, they should be. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction, that is, being ill-treated with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Again, Moses, he could have eat, drank, and been merry right there where he was at. I mean, he had his own servants if he wanted. But yet he chose to separate himself from that because, you know, he wanted to make the right choices. You see, choices are based on our values. Moses, what he did here in verse 25, he rejected a life of ease in Pharaoh's palace. And he chose instead to suffer alongside his fellow Israelites. You know, it's going to come down to where Christians today, even in America, we're going to have to make a choice. Are we going to go the world's way? And if that's the case, then we won't be criticized because everybody supposedly will be for us. Or we're going to separate and say, hey, you know what? I can't go along with that because that goes against God's Word. And if you choose to stand on the standards of God's Word and your choices that you make are based on God's Word, you know what? You better expect the criticism's going to come. You better expect, young people, that some of your so-called friends are going to say, hey, I don't want to hang out with you because if you've got that viewpoint on marriage or whatever, I don't want to have anything to do with you. There's some family members are being divided over this one issue that we see has taken place. Churches have been divided or going to be divided. But you see, it's not because, listen, God is just bringing things to the forefront. What do you believe when it comes to God's Word? Moses rejected a life of status. Moses rejected a life of power and wealth and worldly fame in favor of a life that really some would choose not to go down. Moses based his choices not on the worldly values, but on God's values. And that's when it comes down to it, young people, adults alike, Many of you have done that over the years as adults in this room. You've made the right choices and look where it's got you. But sadly, there's some who are not making the right choices. Some of you have family members that have made wrong choices. Some of you know people that you work with have made the wrong choices. You see, taking a stand for God on what's right, you know, it's not going to make you popular. I remember as a teenager when I decided to take a stand for God, even in my school, my public school, you know, I had some of my friends that said, hey, I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. I thought you were my friend. Well, because, you know, you don't do this, you don't do that with this. Listen, you got to learn that in life, when you make the right choices and do it for God, it's not going to make you popular. So the principle to learn from this is, you see, our choices demonstrate our values. Our choices that we make demonstrate our values, don't they? And then the last point, and we're moving pretty good on time, by. Our last point is this, the right values. Character is reflected in our choices. Character is reflected in our choices. What do you mean, preacher? Look in verse 24, 11, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, that is, when he began to grow up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, as he began to live his life in the light and having the worldview of living in the light, his character began to change. You know what? That happens, doesn't it? Whenever as a Christian you determine, hey, I'm going to live in the world of light. I choose to live. Then you'll find your character, the choices you make by your character begins to change. Moses had a good reputation with God because of his choices. Why did God keep coming back to Moses? Because Moses made wise choices. Now, there toward the end, he obviously made some mistakes. But yet along the way, Moses made right choices. Moses led over 2 million people out of the wilderness. Out of Egypt, excuse me. Into the wilderness. But God guided him all through. If God entrusted him with over 2 million people to lead, then Moses must have been a man of good character. Don't you agree with that? I mean, we're not going to follow. You wouldn't listen to a preacher today if you know that, hey, my character is not above board. I wouldn't expect you to. We're not going to have Sunday school teachers that's going to teach Sunday school in the same, or somebody up here to sing or in the choir. Listen, you expect if you're going to sing for the Lord, if you're going to preach, you're going to teach Sunday school, you're going to be a missionary, whatever, that'll be good character. And by the way, if you call yourself a Christian, that'll be good character. When I go into Chick-fil-A and I go into McDonald's, I can tell a difference, can't you? Now, I'm not a big McDonald's person anyway, but I choose to go in Chick-fil-A. I work for them, but I choose to go in Chick-fil-A because I know what they're teaching these young people. I know how they train them. And one is how you treat people. You know what? When people look at us as Christians, one thing that ought to stand out to the world that's in darkness, there's something about that person's life that I want to be like. You know, they may not read the Bible, but I've often said the best Bible that somebody ought to be able to read is our life. I mean, if they're not going to read the Word of God, then they ought to be able to. Now, nobody's going to get saved by just my lifestyle. But my lifestyle, your lifestyle, helps to point people in the right direction, doesn't it? So that's why character is important. Character is reflected in our choices. Truth shapes our values. What is that truth? The Word of God. Why do you believe what you believe, preacher? Why do you have such strong values? Or somebody might ask you personally, why do you have integrity about this and that? Well, tell them, because it's God's Word. You know, the world's not expected to understand a lot of that, but yet truth shapes our values. Proper values lead to right choices, and a pattern of right choices result, listen to me, in good character. Something we've tried to teach our own kids all throughout life, and I'm sure many of you have. Listen, if you want a good job, then you need to make the right choices and have good character qualities about you. Because you know what? You can find that that's what people are really looking for when it comes down to it. And the same applies in our Christian life. If we want to point people to Jesus, they need to see something in our life that's totally different than what they see in a dark world. So this sequence makes possible a life of something that's hard for us, or not necessarily hard, but something that we sometimes not willing to do. What is it, preacher? That sequence is we've got to be committed to Christ. You see, having the right character means I've got to be committed. Maybe Sunday school. Well, I need to go to church. I need to be involved in reading my Bible and study. And it's a commitment. You know, to growing. It doesn't come easy. I mean, there's a process of really being what God would have us to be when it comes to making the right choices and having that right kind of character. So what's the principle as we close on this? Principle is a pattern of right choices results in what? Good character. A pattern of right choices results in good character. Young people, you make the right choices in life when it comes to one day who you're going to marry. First of all, you don't make that choice. You let God make it. Make the right choices when it comes to, you know, how you're going to treat people. What I'm preaching today is old-fashioned. What I'm preaching today, some of you were taught by your mom and dad, your parents. They just maybe didn't put it in quite the terminology that I'm laying it out here today. But yet, if we get back to the principles of God's Word, and all these are based out of the principles of God's Word, they work. They really do. It's just the fact that for some reason, we've said, hey, there in this world, we've gone to living in a world of darkness. And sadly, as Christians, we've accepted this world of darkness as that's the norm. But if we want to make it a world of light, then we need to reflect that light, don't we? May God help us to do that. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed?